This is Jennifer Yee, and I am a student at Trinity Western University. I am interviewing Joyce Mickelson on the topic of the experience of the very first group of students enrolled at what was then Trinity Junior College. This interview is taking place in the Norma Marion Alloway Library on February 20th, 2004, as part of a History 310 oral history project. Thank you, Joyce, for coming out and being able to do this interview.
You're welcome. I appreciate it.
So, can you please tell us a bit of your family background?
Well, I was born in Vancouver General Hospital, and I've lived most of my life in Surrey. We moved to Surrey just before my third birthday, and except for my time at Trinity and a year in Abbotsford, and then I guess another year and a half that I lived at a work location in Langley, I also lived the first few years of our marriage in Delta, but most of my life has been in Surrey.
Do you have any siblings?
I have no siblings, okay. No.
So you grew up in Surrey area?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cloverdale area.
Okay. So just for clarification, you were one of the first 17 students enrolled at what was then Trinity Junior College.
Right.
Okay. So how did you first hear about Trinity Junior College?
Well, our family was involved in the pre-organization meetings that were usually held at Langley Secondary School. We'd have meetings, banquets, all kinds of things to, you know, present the possibility. This was even before the property was bought and, you know, all the negotiations, because I grew up in the Langley Free Church, so, I mean, it was my home church, and so we were involved right from the very beginning, as far as, you know, before this property was even selected and all that. So I go right back to the very beginning.
So you guys were very involved to begin
with. Yeah.
Wow. So when you started hearing about Trinity Junior College, what kind of thoughts or first impressions did you think about?
Well, I was excited that it would be nice and close, but as it got closer to happening, you know, there's a little bit of skepticism, like, was it really going to happen? You know, because there's so many ifs, you know, this and this and this all have to fall into place, and, you know, that's difficult, so. But it did.
So what may help you decide to attend this college?
Well, as I said, it was close to home. It was a Christian college, and my friends from district youth group would be able to attend too, so that, you know, if I went off to some other, like to Bible school even, I might be the only one there, whereas here I knew of others from other churches that, and I'm not sure, was Ken here the first place? So others that I knew from other areas who were planning on coming, so.
Oh, so you already had that kind of tight-knit coming already.
Yeah.
So how much input did your parents have in the process of applying here too? Did they have any input, or was it mainly yourself?
I can't really remember them saying, you know, do you want to go? And that could have been that, you know, I was excited about it and wanted to go, you know, so I don't think they had to do any pushing, you know. But I'm sure that if they hadn't been as involved in the establishment of TJC, that my desire might not have been as great, you know. So that way they helped by having me there at all the initial things. So.
Like watching you grow and everything.
Yeah.
So, upon arriving on campus, were you on campus quite a few times before then?
A few times, yeah, okay. For groundbreaking and, you know, like for the chapel, which was really the only building that was built before school started.
So the very first building was
Kelvin B. Hansen Chapel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I guess, what do you remember seeing then? Like, can you just kind of give a general description of what you saw?
Well, as you drove up onto campus, as you turned this way, there were two houses which became faculty houses. I don't even remember who lived in the second house anymore at the beginning. And then you'd drive along, and I'm trying to think, probably just this side of the Matson Center, I guess, is where the Barnesium used to be, which was a barn, which we converted the loft into a gymnasium, and it was called the Barnesium, but it was a barn, I guess, when it first came on. And then where you have your, what's it called, something, pumping station or whatever it's called, the
pump station.
Domestic pump station, that was an open pool, which many people got dumped into, but anyway. And then there was the seal cap house and two other houses, which at the beginning were also staff houses. And, no, actually one was on, where the pump thing is here. I think that's it. One house was right in here. And then, is this house still there? Or is that something else?
Because
that's the seal cap house.
Yeah.
And then I thought they'd torn this house down. Anyway, because there was a house there and a house here.
I think maybe they could just move them.
I think it was sort of condemned, I thought. That was when I was working here, 70, 71. So, but that was about all there was. So that was, you know, it was exciting to see that, you know, the space that there was that we wouldn't need at the beginning, but, you know, to expand as mm-hmm. has happened over the many years since. So.
So when you first, remember what you saw the first year when you first came here, did it impact your year at all in any way? Like, you can now see the expansion of it, but when you first came, what is like the kind of excitement that came with it?
Yeah, excitement at being part of the beginning of it, you know, and I can always go back and say, mm-hmm. I worked here the summer before Trinity opened, and I was one of the first student body, so, you know, and nobody can push me out of that. I will always be part of the first. Not many things people can't pass me at.
You said you worked here the summer before Trinity opened?
Yeah. Oh. I started working here right at the end of high school.
Okay.
And worked in what was then the administration building, now Seal Cap House.
Okay.
And because the chapel was not built, it was under construction. So we did all the processing of all the library books mm-hmm. in the administration building and the room, which I guess became the dining hall, was the library during the summer. You know, we had boxes of books all over mm-hmm. the place, and I had my little manual typewriter and taped all the cards and all that. So.
And this was all in the seal cap
mm-hmm.
office. So the seal cap was the library. And
well, it was where we did the setup for the library, because the chapel wasn't built. See, the chapel was chapel, classroom, library. That was all. That was it.
So that's the main building?
That was it, yeah.
Okay.
And then the seal cap house was where all the administration offices were, and the kitchen, dining hall. Yeah, I guess that's about it. And then there were two portable dormitories. One was, the first semester was girls' dorm and professor offices. And the other one was the boys' dorm and the science lab. And then they switched and put the boys in with the professors and the girls in with the science labs.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's all there was.
Okay. So I'll just talk about the application process mm-hmm. that when you would come into TJC. So currently at Trinity Western University, before being formally accepted, we need to introduce ourselves through an autobiographical sketch regarding our background and future, what we want to do in the future, sign our responsibility and membership form, and have two references. So I was wondering, what kind of forms or questions did you need to fill out before attending TJC?
That's a long ways back, you know. We're going back to 1962.
Yeah.
It was likely similar, but I think it was much simpler.
Okay.
We didn't have a responsibility of membership, but we had to sign what was called a code of ethics, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if that was done before you were accepted. I think that was done after you were actually accepted. But, you know, I think you sort of filled out a two-page form, and that was about... You did have to have references.
Okay.
But it was much simpler because they wanted as many students as they could that first year.
Okay. So on the code of ethics, what kind of things were listed? Did you remember?
I can't remember. I mean, being raised in a Christian home, there was nothing there that bothered me, so, you know. But I know that there wasn't supposed to be any smoking on campus or drinking on campus, and I know some kids who got in trouble for that. Not the first year.
Okay.
I don't think anybody did the first year. I don't know.
Yeah. So the code of ethics is very similar to a responsive membership that we have this year, because it seems like no drinking, no smoking, and other things that go along with it.
But, I mean, other than that, I can't really remember too much about it.
So what did you think about the application process that you had to go through?
Well, I didn't have any problem with the process. All I was worried about was whether I would get in.
Why were you worried about not getting in?
Because, well, I didn't really think I would get in because I still needed two courses to complete high school. Well, one I wasn't sure about.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, they told me to go ahead and apply because I had to repeat grade 11 English, which is weird because English was always my best subject, and I mean I always had good marks, especially in language, not so much in literature, but had a bad teacher one year, you know, and that just phew. So I had to repeat that, and then I was supposed to take grade 12 English, which was then English 40, as by correspondence, and so I knew I wouldn't have that. But then I didn't pass my geography either, but I didn't find that out until like August because of provincial exams and everything. So that was my main concern was. But they wanted students. So.
Did you win? So what did you want to study at TJC?
Is this a new one?
Or? Oh, sorry, yeah, the second
page. Oh, okay. Well, there's one more on my page here.
Oh.
Well, when I came, it was only a liberal arts college. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could only take liberal arts. You know, there wasn't a choice. Like, you know, I couldn't go into nursing like my cousin Becky or pre-med like my cousin Shanna. Or
mm-hmm.
I don't even know what. I think Ruth basically did liberal arts. But I was hoping to be a missionary teacher. That was my aim.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sort of my goal.
So what classes did you take?
Because I was classed, and you asked this later, what special means? Well, special was because I hadn't my high school graduation, so therefore I couldn't take a full course.
Okay.
So I took Old Testament Survey and Education the first semester. Education was a year-long course. Old Testament Survey and New Testament Survey were one semester each. And I also took Christian Education, which I believe was also a year-long course. And that was it.
Did you enjoy those courses?
Yeah, I did. Especially New Testament Survey and Christian Education and Education. No. Mm. Old Testament Survey, not so much. I won't go further.
Okay.
He's gone, but he wasn't the greatest teacher.
Oh, okay.
But he was a good friend.
So, did you have any expectations of TJC before attending?
Well, I expected that it would give me the first 2 years of my university studies with a grounding in the Christian beliefs that I'd been brought up to believe. But are you from a Christian home?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so you sort of know what I mean when I say, you know, you believe it, but you don't actually pay attention to why you believe it. It's just you've always believed it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And so that was one thing I was hoping was that I would be able to get, you know, a better grounding mm-hmm. for myself.
Mm-hmm. And did that happen while you were here at TJC?
That part, yeah. Not the first 2 years. I never graduated.
I got you that firm foundation for
yeah.
future.
I learned, you know, why I believed what I believed, and I learned to stand up for those beliefs and be able to argue at least somewhat intelligently with those who attended it were not Christian or atheists or agnostic, you know, so.
Yeah, it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
So did you go to a different college or university afterwards?
No.
Okay.
No, I left.
So you spent a year at TJC?
I spent, well actually as a student I spent 3 years.
Okay.
And on staff I spent about 3 years, I guess. Not counting during school years.
So, next we could talk about if, I understand that you're a commuter,
mm-hmm.
is that true? So can you please tell me why you chose not to live on campus?
Well, it costs a lot more to live on campus mm-hmm. than it did to live at home.
Mm-hmm.
And being only 8 miles from campus, it was much less expensive to pay Dr. Hansen and Garrison and Friesen and Matson to give me transportation because they all came basically right by my place.
Oh.
And so it was much less expensive to pay them so much a month than it was to live on campus. And I didn't have any money. I didn't have any money except what I earned here.
Okay. So you lived at home the whole time
mm-hmm.
and you just
mm-hmm.
got rides. So can you, when you were driving to and from home, like from campus to home and back and forth, like can you describe how Langley looked like back then?
We didn't really go through Langley. We went on the bypass.
Okay.
So, but there wasn't that much in Langley back then. I mean, basically there was one main drag, which is Fraser Highway. And everything was along that one street, and that was just it. And, you know, there was, I can't remember back then to what there was, you know, but it was not a city, it was a community, you know. So, no, it was very different. Of course, there was Cloverdale in those days, you know, and the same thing, so. Although I think Cloverdale might have grown a little bit before Langley did.
Yeah, this is very, just the one street.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there might have been the odd thing that wasn't, like, I'm trying to remember whether Buckerfields was actually on Fraser Highway or if it was behind, but, I mean, all the streets that there are now, I mean, a lot of them weren't even there.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that were there, a lot of them were just, you know, a way to get from here to here sort of thing, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get to where you want to go,
yeah,
and that's
yeah,
enough.
Yeah. I guess the post office and the bus depot were a street over from the main drag. But I can't remember. And the courthouse and the police station and all that. Like they were like Fraser Highway around here, and I don't remember what this road is now.
Mm-hmm.
And the other road came by here, and the courthouse and library and that, I guess, are here, and the post office and the bus depot were here, and then the Langley Park was here. I can't remember there being too much else on that street back then, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
It's way back in the dark ages.
It's interesting, though, like how it, you can like watch how it grows
mm-hmm.
and changes
mm-hmm.
and everything.
And some is for the good, and some isn't. Sometimes it'll be nice to go back. Like,
yeah.
Where we grew up, my girlfriend says, I'm never going down that street again because her house is gone.
Oh.
And yet, I think her house was built better than ours was, but they've torn hers down and put in a big office tower or something there. But my house is still there. But, you know, you do, you sort of feel sad every time a house disappears. You know, so.
Yeah,
a
piece of history, like,
how
yeah.
it's
back when
yeah.
they go within the house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Okay, well, back to the question.
Mm-hmm.
Since you were commuting, were you able to visit your classmates in the dorms or?
Oh yeah, I visit the girls' dorm a lot. In fact, I spent a lot of time in the girls' lounge because the girls didn't spend that much time in there. And if you went over to the chapel, the library was, I never got anything done because of working in the library. Everybody would come, Joyce, what do I do? You know, and they'd always want me to help, and I'd never get any studying done. So I used to go to the dorm and go into the lounge and do my studying. And very rarely did I get interrupted there unless one of the faculty members came in or something.
Oh, wow. It's like the complete opposite. Most people go to study in the library, not in the, can't study in the dorms.
Well, you see, because the dorm was, you know, it had two wings with a piece across in the middle, and in that piece across in the middle was the washroom, or the, were the wa- I think it was, is it just one washroom? I think there's only one washroom, I can't remember. And then a little cleaning room, and I can't remember if there was something else in there or not, but it was sort of like, it was sort of like an H. And the professors had these three offices, and the girls had these four rooms over here. Well, the lounge was like you had to go down the hall and past one and a half offices in order to get to the lounge.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of the girls didn't like going down there because, you know, they'd come back and put on their house coats or whatever they wanted to put on, you know, and they had like a curtain across between the washroom and the men's offices, but but you know, that was all there was. I mean, things were much more relaxed that way than they are now. I mean, that would never pass now.
Yeah, the professor 12 rooms right there, and your lounge is right beside it.
Yeah, because like I don't remember which, but I know there was one office. Like if you came in the door on their side, there was one office there, and then another one in the middle, and that was sort of where the hall came in. It was almost right at that door. And then you turned this way and went by the other office into the lounge. So, you know, at night it was okay because they weren't around very often, you know. But during the day, a lot of them were in there. And, of course, that's when I was there, right?
Yeah.
So
what kind of things did you do with your in the girls' dorm, or did you do with the girls and the guys for fun? Like?
I don't know, I can't think of anything specific. Just goof off like kids do, I guess. We had some pretty serious times, too, you know, where we would talk. I believe Mimi is one of the ones that is taking part in this study as well.
Yes.
And I believe her mom was still having, well, she's always been having physical problems, so... you know, sometimes we'd be praying with her about her mom or something, and my best girlfriend Sharon, her mom was quite far along with diabetes and had a lot of complications in that, so Sharon and I would spend a lot of time talking about mom and Sue's and stuff like that. So, I mean, there were serious times too, but it wasn't all frivolity. But.
Yeah.
And then, you know, being a commuter, you do miss out on a lot of the stuff. Goes on, because most of the stuff that goes on in the evening while I was at home, you know.
Definitely. So, looking back, are you glad that you commuted instead of living on campus?
Well, like? I'm glad because I didn't have as much debt.
Yeah.
But I would love to have lived on campus for all 3 years that I attended, you know. Because you miss out on a lot by living at home.
Yeah.
If a person has an option, I'd always encourage them more on campus. At a Christian school, I'm not sure I would.
Public schools, yeah.
You know, like if it was at UBC or SFU, I would say it's probably a toss-up because you can get involved. It depends on how grounded a person is in their Christian life, I think. You know,
definitely makes a huge difference.
Because if it's somebody who maybe isn't very well grounded, I would say, well, you know, you might want to consider living at home. It costs a lot less, you know, and all this stuff. Whereas, you know, so, but as far as the experience, yeah, live on campus.
Good for living on campus. So I was also wondering, did you work well, you said you worked well attending TJC, and you worked in the library, as you said?
Well, I worked before school opened, setting up the library, I also worked there during my 3 years as a student, and also worked in the library for 2 years on staff. Mm-hmm. Then I left for a few months, and then I came back as a custodian and cleaned the chapel, about half the arts and science building, the admin building, which is now Seal Cap House. And part of the time I also cleaned the library, which is now Chris Strombeck Center, because my boss hurt his back, and he was supposed to clean the library, so I just said, well, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I did that most of the time as well. So.
So you have to see so many different aspects of TJC and the way different positions that you worked at and everything.
But while I was a student, mm-hmm. my work was in the library.
So how did your time management for work and school work out?
Well, the year I lived on campus, I had trouble studying because the first half of the year it wasn't too bad during the week. But by this time, I'm 21, and most of the kids in the dorm were first-year students, so they were quite a bit younger than me. So they all came to me for all their advice on everything. A lot of times, there would be, you know, a lineup waiting to talk to me.
Oh, wow.
So I'm supposed to be studying,
mm-hmm.
and that would be mainly on the weekends because my roommate went home. But then her dad died, and so she moved home and commuted the second semester, mm-hmm. and I had the room to myself, which meant that any time I was in the room, I was very rarely alone. I usually had so, and I think that's why I, you know, didn't graduate was because I failed courses because I, but, you know, I wouldn't change that experience for anything, you know, to be able to, you know, listen to the girls. They'd come and say, do I look okay? Before they'd go out on a date, and then when they'd come back, oh, I gotta tell you what happened, or you know what happened, you know, and all this stuff, so it was, it would always be my room they'd come to. Stuff like that. So.
They saw something in you that they trusted, and they
yes, don't
would talk to you about everything.
And the same thing happened actually when I was acting as custodian. Well, somewhat when I was in the library, I'd have kids come in and talk to me too, but more so when I was custodian. And believe it or not, that was more with guys than with girls because part of the arts and science building basement was used as a boys' dormitory. And when I would be working around there, I had several of the guys who would come and talk to me about all their problems. And there were a couple of guys that really had a lot of problems, and they would come sometimes. But they were good because, especially the one guy, he'd say, well, now I've taken so much of your time. Okay, I'm going to help you.
Oh, wow.
And then he would help me so that I could get done, you know.
Oh, that's
I mean,
good.
My work took a certain amount of time,
mm-hmm.
and that was how many hours I put down.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, instead of getting out of there at like 11 or 12, I'd get out of there about 3 or 4 because I've been counseling these guys.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes girls, but mostly guys.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
The only way the girls could get in there was with the permission of a boy.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
they'd knock on the door, and that was only if I was in the janitor's room, which was down there. So, you know,
yeah.
Come in. Close the door and talk.
Wow.
Yeah.